Chapter 9. A Storm at Sea. Elsevier and I were taken to prison, a horrible Dutch prison. During the trial, we told our story to the judge, but he did not believe us. He believed Aldebrand, who told a very clever story.
These Englishmen jumped through the window of my room and wanted to steal one of my precious diamonds,
said Aldebrand, looking at the judge.
Liar! Thief!
Shouted Elsevier.
That diamond was ours, not his. He's a liar and a thief!
The judge turned to us and said,
You two will spend your life in prison for this crime.
Elsevier did not complain, but I was furious. All of my life in prison, I thought. I'm just a boy and now I'm ruined. Was Blackbeard's diamond really cursed? As we were walking out, I looked at Aldebrand and said, Good day, Mr. Aldebrand, liar and thief. That diamond will bring you only evil in this life and in the next. Elsevier and I were soon separated, and I rarely saw him. The prison was cold, dark, and dirty, and there was only bread and water to eat. Every day the prisoners had to work hard to build a big fort nearby, and that is what we did for 10 years. These were long, difficult years, without a moment of rest or happiness. Then one morning, when I was a man of 26, a guard said to us,
You're leaving Holland, and you're going to Java to work on the Dutch sugar farms.
Is this my future? Working and dying on a sugar farm in Java, I thought, angrily. I'll never see Grace or Moonfleet again. Blackbeard's diamond was cursed. That morning, I saw Elsevier, whose hair was now white. We were very happy to see each other. He was going to Java too, on the ship called the Aurungzebe. We left Holland with bad weather, and it got worse every day. After a week, there was a big storm at sea, with tall waves, strong winds, and rain. As Elsevier and I looked towards the shore, we suddenly understood where we were. We couldn't believe our eyes. Moonfleet Bay. Soon the ship started sinking. The prisoners and the guards were terrified because they knew nothing about a storm at sea. But Elsevier, who had lived his life on the sea, tried to help them.
Don't take the lifeboats,
he cried.
You'll never get to shore. Stay on the ship until she gets to the bay near the beach, and then jump. Listen to me. I was born here. I've seen hundreds of storms in Moonfleet Bay.
But no one listened to Elsevier. Everyone tried to get into the lifeboats, and they all died in the rough sea. Elsevier and I stayed on the ship until the last minute.
John, listen to me,
he said loudly.
Jump when I tell you. The men on the beach will throw us a rope, and we must catch it before another big wave comes. Remember, the big waves are dangerous because they'll pull you back into the sea. Goodbye, John, and God save us both.
I held his big hand and waited to hear the word jump.
Jump now!
He shouted suddenly. We jumped into the rough, cold sea, and we could see the men on the beach with the ropes. I was very cold and weak. Elsevier caught one end of a rope and said,
Take this rope!
He pushed me onto the beach with his strong hands. He saved my life. Then I heard a big wave coming behind me, but I couldn't turn around. A minute later, I was lying on the beach and I was shaking with cold. A crowd of men and women stood around me, but I couldn't speak. I remember that some men put warm blankets around me and carried me to a fire where I fell asleep. Was this all true? I thought as I woke up. Am I in Moonfleet and a free man now? I was lying on the wooden floor of the Why Not Inn, and I heard a voice say,
Elsevier.
Elsevier, I said. Where is Elsevier?
Who's asking about Elsevier?
Said a voice I knew. It was Ratsy's. Don't you remember me, Ratsy? I said, sitting up and looking at him. I'm John Trenchard, who left Moonfleet long ago. Where is Elsevier? Ratsy's face became white when he saw me, and then he came to me and shook my hand warmly. He asked me many questions, but I wanted to know about Elsevier. Ratsy spoke very softly and said,
You're the only person we found on the beach.
That's not true, I cried. Elsevier was close to the beach when he gave me the rope and pushed me forward.
Yes, he saved your life, John,
said Ratsy.
But a big wave got him and pulled him back into the sea.
No, no, I cried in despair. He saved me, but he didn't save himself. Oh, dear Elsevier, I won't see his face or hear his kind voice any more. I loved him like a father. It was almost morning, and I put a blanket around my shoulders and went back to the beach. I wanted to find Elsevier's body. There was no sign of the Aurungzeb, but its wreckage was all over the beach. Ratsy came to the beach too, and sat next to me.
Eat this bread and meat, John,
he said kindly. I wasn't hungry, but ate the food slowly, looking at the sea. Then suddenly I felt strange. Elsevier is coming, I thought. I can feel it. The waves were bringing his body to the beach, and I ran towards it with Ratsy following me. I knelt down by his body and touched his face and hair, then I kissed his cold cheek. The men from Moonfleet who knew him came to the beach and carried him back to the Why Not Inn. There they laid his body on the long table. I sat next to Elsevier's body for many hours, and many memories came to my mind. Then I started thinking, I have lost my only friend. What can I do now? Where can I go? I felt lost and terribly sad. Then someone touched my shoulder. I turned around and saw a tall, beautiful woman standing behind me. It was Grace Maskew.
John,
she said,
have you forgotten me? Didn't you see the light at my window?
I could not speak.
I'm very sorry about Elsevier,
she said.
I know he was a brave man with a kind heart, but do you still love me, John?
I took her hand and said, Dear Grace, of course I still love you. I've always loved you. But many things have changed. You're a noble lady, and I'm a very poor, unlucky man. I told her about the diamond and about my 10 years in prison.
John, please don't talk about money,
she said.
There are more important things in life. Forget Blackbeard's diamond. It was evil.
Grace and I talked for a long time, and then she left. Shortly after, Mr. Glennie, my old teacher, came to see me. He took out his prayer book and said some prayers for Elsevier. Then he took a piece of blue paper from his pocket. It was a letter from Crispin Aldebrand's lawyer in Holland. It had arrived 8 years before when I was in prison. The long letter said that before dying, Aldebrand wrote a will and left all of his money to John Trenchard of Moonfleet. He explained that the diamond was real and that he had stolen it from me and Elsevier, and now he was very sorry. The diamond had brought him a lot of bad luck.
Well, John, you're a very lucky young man,
said Mr. Glennie, smiling.
There's no longer a price on your head, so you're a free man. And you're a very rich man too, with all of Aldebrand's money.
I was very surprised and did not know what to say. Suddenly, I wasn't poor any more. How strange life is. Mr. Glennie and I talked about Aldebrand's will until midnight, and then he left. I spent the night next to my great friend, Elsevier. This is the end of my story. I received all of Aldebrand's money, but I did not keep it for myself. With Mr. Glennie's and Grace's help, I rebuilt and opened the poorhouses, and built a new hospital and new homes for the people of Moonfleet. Part of the money was used to improve the church and the school, too. I became an important person in my village. Grace and I got married, and the old Mahoon mansion became a beautiful home again. We have three lovely children, Elsevier, Grace, and John. We live happily in Moonfleet and never leave it. When there is a bad storm, I run down to the beach with the others and try to help the men at sea. Sometimes we cannot help them, and we see them die. And each time I stand on the beach with a rope in my hand, I remember dear Elsevier and how he saved my life.